Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Our goal on this episode is to provide a clear and concise description of labor exploitation to help you identify when you, as a worker, as a member of the working class, are being exploited by your employer for profit. When you think about any transaction, we want you to think about it in terms of three different parties. There's the individual paying for the good or service, typically called the customer, and an example of a service might be an oil change. There is then the entity offering the service, typically a for-profit corporation. And then finally, you, the worker, the individual actually doing the work. We intend to focus on the relationship between you, the worker, and your profit-seeking employer. When somebody pays for an oil change, how much of that money goes into your pocket? The answer is less than 100% because somebody else, besides the customer, is benefiting from your work.
And they benefit from more than just money. So the benefits are, if it's manual labor, they're not doing manual labor, right? You are. You are exchanging the pain and suffering of your body for money. They also benefit from the fact that as you work, you're creating something called surplus value, which is basically, at the end of the day, you've worked all day. You've worked. You've created stuff. And they pay you for a fraction of what you've created so that they can take the rest of it as profit. So think of it, if you work in fast food and you serve 40 people an hour, right? And the average is $10 of delivery. That is $400 an hour that you are basically handing out the window for the fast food place. So to keep the math easy, let's say everybody inside collectively makes, let's say, $100. And it costs about $100 to make all the food because there's the bag and there's the meat and everything that's in the bag. And let's say that it costs about $50 for the building and all the other things inside the building. So after that hour, $250 is basically losses out of that $400, but they've net profited $150. But you don't share in that. You don't see that money. You see the fraction of the $100 an hour that goes to the workers' pay. So the owner of the building, the corporation, the franchise, they see all this extra surplus value that you've created so they can go out and buy their kids expensive cars and nice property while you struggle to get to work every day. They have nice health care. They get to go to the dentist. You don't. They have everything that you want. They have, and you have none of that because they've extracted from you your value. And yes, it may seem complex when I go through the math, but what it really comes down to is for every one item you sell or every brick you lay, somebody is ripping you off because they're paying you less money than what you're worth because that's how profits work. The only way they can be profitable is if they steal from you every single day that you work.
And the common framing that you'll hear from the people that own these businesses is that they're incurring risk. They're taking a risk by getting a loan and starting the business and buying the building and having insurance. And all this bullshit, let's suppose that the franchise owner for McDonald's fails. Their business goes under because they're incompetent. What risk do they incur? They default on their loan. Who gives a shit? The bank wipes it away. The building gets reclaimed by the bank. And instead of McDonald's, Burger King moves in. Nothing fundamentally punishes the business owner, but the workers lose their job. So it's another example of the business owner attempting to say that it's all about me and I'm the one making sacrifices. But no, it's the workers that are making the sacrifices because in every situation, the worker is exploited. And there's very little power that workers have in this scenario. If you work at McDonald's, what can you do to say, hey, Mr. Businessman, you're exploiting me? What does that look like?
The hard part here is that when you ask that question, there isn't many models out there that are actually wins for the worker. Because let's take, for instance, unions. As soon as you mention that, all hell breaks loose. There's anti-union campaigns. There's tracking of your data. There's watching you. There's firing you. There's walking drug dogs around the parking lot to basically fire everybody that's there legally so that you can't unionize. That happens all the time, even though the union has been shown to increase everybody's wage.
The anti-union behavior is most prevalent among large corporations. It's more profitable for these companies to devote resources at preventing unionization than it is to pay workers more money. There are many instances where corporations have decided to close plants or stores in response to a unionization effort by the workers in a particular locality. We're not telling you this to dissuade your efforts at unionization, but we want you to be aware of potential ramifications of attempting to unionize.
The other part is that if you start talking about unions or organizations, they can change your work hours. They can deschedule you. You can do all the stuff legally that they're allowed to do, hire more people in, because the labor laws are not designed to actually help you unionize. It's designed to give you something to root for, even though you can never attain it. It's to give the workers something that they can pin something on that we're going to work towards, even though the chances of success are so small, it's insignificant. And no one gives a shit if the unions are good or bad. They care whether or not they're functional.
So as a worker, you might look at unions as being a good thing. And that's generally a correct point of view. But a union isn't actually helpful unless it's helpful. If you don't have the ability to create or join a union, it doesn't do you any good at all. And you just listed a number of things that can happen when you say the U word. The small business owner goes, oh, that's bad because that might lead to increased wages, which will lead to me making less money. So I need to do everything in my power to prevent the union from happening. So that provokes a reaction that is not beneficial to your goal, which is being more fairly compensated for your labor. Consider the cost benefit of even discussing creating a union or joining a union. It's a complicated process that can have benefits, but it can also have drawbacks.
Another uphill battle that the worker has is that there is a fallacy, and you talked about it before, that the store owner loves you, that the corporation cares about you. They don't care about you. Every decision they make is mitigating risk, every single one of them. If they talk about safety, it's not because they care that you're safe, the corporation at least. It's because there's a lawsuit or workman's comp or unplanned downtime that's happening from your injury. And it's as simple as this. If you slip and fall at work because of a slippery floor at a fast food place, and you hit your head, and you get blood all over the stove and everything else, guess what? You can't make food. And then they have to pay for that. So what they do, they make you buy your own anti-slip shoes. Not because they care about you getting hurt, it's because they care about you getting hurt and messing up production for the day. And then writing a report and having OSHA come in and the health department come in, and all the paperwork that goes there. And getting a less than perfect rating from their corporate masters.
So we've just painted a very bleak picture about how the entire system of your employment is effectively set up against your own interests. And we want to be very clear that in most situations it is. But we also want to provide some ability for you to ascend above your terrible working conditions and make your workplace and society better. So we want to discuss a couple models that can improve your workplace and your coworkers as well, because we're all in this together. Depending on what type of job you're in, you may or may not have the ability to implement some of these, but you can always look for jobs that value these premises. So one of them is, let's say you're on a work crew and you're creating something. Everybody on the work crew has their role typically, and they each have different skill sets. And your individual skill set coupled with everybody else's yields some efficiency that allows you to produce whatever the end product is. That's good. That's an efficiency. You're working together as a team. So you should consider creating a cooperative with these individuals so that you all share in the benefit of your labor. This can be a partnership. In most cases, you can create a business at your state for a relatively nominal fee, something in the $100 range. And that allows you to have a legal business entity where you can employ other individuals as part of this cooperative and share in the profits rather than having somebody extract your surplus value. So that's something you should consider if you're working in a field where this is viable. There's all sorts of things to consider. Your marketing, how would you get people to pay for your services? But if you're the one doing the work, you're ultimately the talented individual that can produce services that people are willing to pay for. So don't sell yourself short.
It's important to understand the terminology of material conditions. The world around you is unique to you. You impact society just as much as society impacts you. So yes, it's hard to envision what a cooperative would be because you've never seen that in action before. And so we don't want to come across as individuals who are insensitive, because we're not. We're giving you as a generic set of tools for you to go out and start the discussions. It's really important to not only discuss this with the people around you that you do know, but also talk to people that you don't know about all this. Because as a worker, everybody's exploited. There is not a single hourly employee that is not exploited. Up and down the board, everybody's being exploited. And it's up to us to not only talk about it, but show others the way.
So your suffering is both unique and the most consistent thing in all of society. That's what material conditions are. Your suffering is unique to you. It's the sum of everything that affects your daily life. It's your inability to have healthcare, go to the dentist, have to leave your kids at school for an extra hour because you don't have the ability to pick them up. Those are your material conditions. They all compound and they make your work experience exploitive, because you often don't have the ability to work your way out of the exploitation because you're exploited. To some degree, it's a cycle. The powers that be want to perpetuate that cycle so that you continue to be exploited. And the first step, and this is what we're trying to raise with this episode, is to help you understand how you're being exploited so that you can be aware of how it happens and how to prevent it and eventually overcome it.
Absolutely. There's many examples. There's examples of if you had private insurance through your employer and they scale back your benefits, descheduling you or moving your scheduling around because they want to cut your hours because you're the highest paid person there. Right? There's lots of ways that you are exploited, but if you recognize all of them, you can begin to fight back, because there are things like filing complaints or using your words to just say, I don't think this is fair. I'm, you know, just advocating for yourself, knowing that you can. And we're not saying it always works, but it's the only way for you can make a difference if you don't have a union or protection that will allow you to speak up.
Depending on your city or state, there's likely a Department of Labor tasked with enforcing workplace safety and other labor laws where you can file complaints. The resolution of these complaints is often biased towards the employer because large corporations spend money lobbying, influencing politicians to create favorable laws. Another option is to find an attorney, but they operate with a profit motive too. Most labor attorneys operate on a contingency, where they only get money if you win, but most of the time the payout isn't large enough to justify their time. There are, however, people willing to help you. You just have to find them, and that's the hard part.
So now that you understand that you're exploited and you have these material conditions around you, and now that you understand that other workers have this same condition, that means that you're no longer alone, because everybody that you know is exploited. And it also means that you need to change your viewpoint in the world and put on your worker-colored glasses, where you realize that the waitress or the waiter who's being grumpy might hate their job as much as you hate your job, and they don't want to be there, but they have to be there. Or someone doesn't want to help you at a super center, like a Walmart, because they have to get the shelves stocked. Because if they don't get the shelves stocked, they get yelled at for not hitting their quota. But then they get yelled at because you go up there and you tell the manager that they're not helping you. So they have no way to win here. So it's understanding that everybody's exploited, which then means that not only is everybody exploited, everybody needs help. And if you can be that voice to be like, hey, you're getting screwed over, that goes a long way in just educating other individuals on how messed up it is. And right now, there is not a lot of rhetoric around worker exploitation. We have individuals that are in key democratic leadership positions who are pure capitalists, who don't care about the worker, but they're the ones that we're supposed to look up to as being the voice of the worker. So it's up to people to act locally and within their own friend circle to really have this discussion. And one way you can engage individuals is when you recognize someone's being exploited, to take a second to let them know it.
What's key about letting somebody know that they're being exploited is that people tend to have a good faith argument where, oh, this really shitty thing happened at work today. I'm sure this person didn't mean to do it. But we want you to put your worker colored glasses on and think about it from the point of view of the person that is exploiting you. If they actually cared, would you even be in this position where you're being exploited, where you're asked to work an extra 4-hour shift because somebody else got sick, but you really want to go to your kid's sporting event, but you can't because you have to work? If the person exploiting you actually cared about your well-being, they wouldn't put you in that position. They wouldn't cause a scenario in which you had to make the choice to not go to your kid's sporting event because you have to work. They know that you're exploited. They conjure up some bullshit excuse that emotionally rationalizes their actions to themselves while fully exploiting your need to have a job.
You need to have a job. You are financially unstable. And I don't mean that as a criticism, that is a matter of fact. I cannot afford to speak out because if I get fired, there's no way for us to survive more than a month. And this is why it's important for everybody to understand that the people around you are getting screwed over just as much as you are. It's also important to realize that some people are capitalistic bootlickers, and they're going to always lick the boot, always going to say stuff like, Walmart is so good to me, or Target's so good to me, because they suffer from post-capitalism stress disorder, in which they do not understand they're being exploited, and they do not understand what the world is like without capitalism. So if you notice someone has PTSD, you can ask them, how do they know that the store loves them? that their employer is actually kind or that they're doing the right thing. Because that question itself goes a long way because it makes them actually think about what the hell they're saying. Because they've been given propaganda their entire life about corporations loving you. You're basically tricked all day long into believing that the mother employer loves you. They coddle you. When in reality, you're just there as an inconvenience because they can't let it be automated. If they could automate it, you don't need to exist.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.